On the show today, we have Celent's Dan Lattimore talking about Celent's 2016 Model Bank Awards, where a credit union, yes, a credit union has won. So check it out. You guys just put out your Celent 2016 Model Bank Awards, and it's kind of a who's who list on there of folks, I mean, banks out there that have done a great job. But I saw on the list, there's a credit union listed on there, and it was BECU. So I'm like, wow, let's get Dan on the show to talk about our sole representative in this whole thing. But before we get into that, I mean, can you explain what the Model Bank Awards are, what they represent?
Sure. What we're really trying to do, Michael, is get exposure for our clients to the most innovative thinking that's going on really around the world. Mm-hmm. And we had over 100 banks this year submit model bank nominations to us. And more than half of them were from outside the U.S. And what we're really trying to do is identify banks who are doing innovative things. Mm-hmm. And between banks and their vendors, we get great insight into what's happening. And outside the U.S., frankly, there is a lot more innovation than just within the walls of, or the borders of our country.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
And so being able to give our clients and the world really exposure to what's going on outside mm-hmm. of their sometimes fairly narrow world, because they're all heads down doing their day jobs, really is a great cross-pollination we find.
Well, one of the reasons why I want to kind of bring light to this, not only because, you know, there's a credit union represented in here, but like you said, this represents, like, you know, some really innovative best practices uses from around the world that all of us, banks and credit unions, can either, you know, check out and review and go, hey, you know what, maybe we can adopt something similar or have your own spin on it. So, I mean, it's always good to, like, look out. I mean, the old cliche, my gosh, look outside the box type of thing, or think outside the box, and adopt new ways of thinking or new practices, that type of stuff. So this is something that I wanted to bring light to. And so what were the requirements for this for these awards to, like, win one of the categories?
Yeah, we try and be fairly transparent about this, but we have three main criteria for what a nomination has to do. So first of all, it has to have some pretty clear business benefits. And quantifying them is key, but also the bigger the better. Mm-hmm. So something that affects the whole bank is going to be a lot more impressive to us than something that just affects a small part of it.
Mm-hmm.
The second is degree of innovation. So how are you approaching a problem differently than a lot of your peers or competitors are.
Yeah.
And that degree of innovation lets us see a lot of really interesting stuff. Sometimes, of course, they fall down on the business benefits because it's too young or just hasn't been executed that well, or it seemed really cool, but it didn't play out the way they thought.
Mm-hmm.
And the third of these three criteria is technological or implementation excellence.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so you can have something that is relatively mundane, but if it affects a huge portion of the institution, or if you've got a huge institution, like Sberbank in Russia was one of ours, and it had thousands of branches across 8 different time zones.
Wow.
So they scored very high on implementation excellence as they resolved their cores, for instance. So as we assess those three, the balance, or those winners have a balance amongst the three.
Okay. Do you have any examples of, like, some of the awards that really surprised you, or anything that really stood out? Like, whoa, that's really cool. We got to bring light to this.
Yeah, I think I'd go first of all to our Model Bank of the Year winner. And while they're not a credit union, Eastern Bank in Massachusetts is nevertheless the oldest and largest mutual savings bank in the country.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, you know, a cousin to a credit union.
Sure.
And as a $10 billion institution, not only did they completely rewrite their corporate lending platform, or loan origination system, rather, mm-hmm. in a matter of 14 months, but they did it to develop not a new product, but just a new way of applying for small business loans, and saw results that were almost literally off the charts.
Really?
So it was fascinating. And the way they did this was they set up an in-house innovation unit called Eastern Labs within the institution itself. They're devoting a point of revenues every year to innovation. Eastern Labs is autonomous, but it has the full support of the board. And it's kind of like the peanut butter and chocolate of fintech and institution collaboration. So it's got all the benefits and none of the drawbacks, because right. even as fintechs and financial institutions collaborate these days, mm-hmm. they're still inevitable conflicts. They're mm-hmm. pulling together, but they're not fully aligned. Mm-hmm. And there's friction, and it just takes a lot longer. And we'd absolutely say that financial institutions should collaborate with fintechs, yeah. but here, by bringing their fintech in-house, they got rid of some of that other friction that still remains.
I like it. The Reese's peanut butter cup analogy. I love that. Peanut yep. butter and chocolate. Doesn't nothing bad about that. All right, let's get to BECU. What category did they win for and why?
Yeah, so BECU is an interesting group. And, you know, we talk to our bank and credit union clients all the time, and everyone thinks they're unique. BECU is unusual, however, in that of their branch network right now, really only two are traditional branches, and the rest are these neighborhood financial centers. Mm-hmm. So they won in our omnichannel category because what they did, being so reliant as they are on ATMs, was they worked with a vendor called Inetco to really hone their ATM analytics. Because very often what they were seeing was the first time they knew something was wrong was when a customer complained, which is not ideal when ATMs are your primary delivery channel.
Yeah, yeah.
So having identified that problem, they put in place these real-time analytics that solved a host of problems in terms, ranging from identification of issues to begin with mm-hmm. to on the back end, a lengthy and sometimes error-prone, because it was manual, process mm-hmm. to ingest data and then analyze it and turn it around so that it could be acted on. They reduced the cycle time, cleaned up the process, eliminated errors, and were able to start doing things with their ATMs that they just never had been able to do before.
Right on, right on. Yeah, I mean, I love the folks at BECU. We've had them on the show a few times, and they're just such great people. And that was even more incentive for me to like, hey, let's call up you guys and talk about them for a little bit. So, I mean, what can credit unions do to kind of increase their presence on this list? I know it's primarily banks, but it's really nice to see a credit union kind of sneak in there and get one of these categories. What can we do better to get even more next year?
Yeah, well, I mean, first of all, is nominate yourselves.
Yeah, step one.
there were not that many, and we'd love to see more ideas.
Yeah.
Think about the projects you've got out there that have elements of business benefits and innovation and technology mm-hmm. or implementation excellence. Mm-hmm. And when you're there, don't be shy.
Yeah.
We have a big event every year in New York. It was sold out this year, where we go through each of the winners. Everyone learns from each other. They get to meet some really interesting and innovative people. The networking
yeah.
is tremendous.
Yeah.
So don't be shy, because there's all sorts of great innovation. And for credit unions in particular, as they are thinking about ways to use technology to serve their members better, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm convinced there's all sorts of great stuff out there. We just haven't heard about it.
There is, because this got me thinking, is like there's a publication, and you're probably aware of it, a Credit Union Journal, obviously, in the credit union space, that has a best practices issue every November. And there's like, they have like two dozen winners or something. And so I know there's plenty of content. There's plenty of worthy content or worthy best practices out there. It's like you said, it's just, don't be shy. Get it out there.
right. Absolutely.
It's out there.
We'll be starting our nomination process in 4 or 5 months.
Okay.
We'd love to hear these new ideas.
Yeah. Okay. Very cool. Well, I will. Hopefully, this will spur a few folks on to jump out of their silo and not be so shy and apply. So, all right. To wrap up here, Dan, what are the goals of this Model Bank Awards? Obviously, it sounds like to bring some really innovative ideas to light.
Yeah, I mean, we want to make sure that our clients, both banks and credit unions and also vendors on the other side, see what's really going on out there. And, our interest is really in practical uses of technology. So we're well aware of everything that's going on out there in the future. Yeah. But, when you actually peel back the onion and look under the covers, mixing metaphors here, you see that a lot of this hype is still pretty far out there. We want to see what's actually been implemented. Mm-hmm. And we're doing some work right now looking at the features and functionality of mobile applications for every institution in the U.S. Mm-hmm. And what's fascinating to us is that out of of the 30 or so different features we've cataloged, only four have penetration above 80% when you look at all the 6,000 plus institutions. And then remote deposit capture is in there at about 63% today, and then everything drops off a cliff. So you hear about, you know, fingerprint authentication, only 10% or so firms have it today.
Right.
And you look at other things, they're even lower. So, so we think things like that are pretty interesting. And for us, the Model Bank Awards really let us see how folks are taking this vision of the future and implementing it today.
And making it work today. Because, I mean, for example, I mean, we've all heard about how biometrics is, you know, obviously the next big thing and getting rid of passwords and all that type of stuff. And but it always seems like this science fiction type of thing. It always seems kind of like this outer realm, this outer known type of thing. But this year we interviewed the folks from Mountain America Credit Union, and they've implemented iVerify's scan thing, whatever you want to call it. And it's working, and it's working really well. And we interviewed folks from, I think it was Digital Insight, and I can't recall the other credit union. So they're doing the thumbprint, finger scan, all that type of stuff. So it sounds like biometrics is slowly starting to gain some momentum, like you said. And so the adoption is going to be much greater in the next couple of years. So you'll probably be seeing much more of that, hopefully.
Yeah, and we'll be tracking that on a month-by-month basis. Yes. You know, interestingly, USAA, another cousin, if you will, to credit unions, was a winner for its biometric implementations this year.
Love it.
So there's a lot going on in this space, but, you know, it's right now being adopted by the early folks.
Mm-hmm.
And that gives the folks we're waiting to see the chance to learn from what's really working and what doesn't. So that's another thing that we're able to do is kind of identify what's going to have legs and where you can watch and observe and maybe just step back.
Yeah, exactly. So interesting. I mean, gosh, I keep saying every time, like, these are really exciting times to be in the financial service industry. It's so much fun to see because where technology is taking us and stuff, it's just so much fun. And where payments and biometrics and stuff, it's like, whoa, we're living in science fiction right now. It's fun.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, so funny story, I think. 3 years ago when I started at Celent, people would say, well, what do you do at a cocktail party, for instance?
Yeah.
I said, well, I research financial technology. And they'd say, I've got to get a drink.
Yeah.
And today, I say I research financial technology, and they actually are very interested and stick around. We talk about whether they use remote deposit capture or mobile banking. Mm-hmm. If not, why not? It's really starting to, I think, make inroads in the stream of regular folks who don't do this for a living.
Exactly.
And I think as those people start to expect a lot more from their bank, it's going to change the world. And, you know, even today, you look at the penetration of mobile banking among customers across all institutions, not just the bigs, for example.
Right.
It's only 25%.
Wow.
So, and so you look at the headlines, you think it'd be 55, 60.
Yeah.
It's not. And that, again, I think is a big opportunity for institutions to educate their customers about what they need to do.
Mm-hmm.
Because think back to ATMs, back to BCU, people didn't start necessarily using those on their own. They had to be taught. The teller would walk them over and say, let me show you how to use this, Mr. Smith. And we're getting into the realm now where the early adopters have pretty much early adopted.
Mm-hmm.
And the rest of the folks are going to have to be taught how to use this stuff.
Yeah.
Taught why it's good and taught why security shouldn't be a concern any more so than any other kind of bank transaction.
Right.
So lots of potential, we think, in mobile banking in particular.
Indeed, indeed. That phone, man, is a game changer for everybody. So good stuff. Dan, thank you so much for taking time out of day to chat with us. I always appreciate it. Let's do this again. It's fun.
Absolutely. My pleasure, Michael.
All righty. Take care.